This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be brutal. Snow, ice, freezing temps. If you're thinking, driving in this weather, I need a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to handle winter like a pro. Don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Winter roads demand a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to Ace time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you until 10 a.m. this morning. Very excited to be with you. Our final day here in West Palm Beach covering the Astros spring training. So I get my camera situated for those of you on the Twitch and the YouTube there. There we go. Good to be with you, man. It's been a hell of a week here. We big thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne, and today is Jose Altuve in left field day.
It's like we're seeing a young rookie. We've already seen Cam Smith do well as a rookie so far.
Santa's delivering Jose Altuve and placing him underneath a tree with a big outfield glove on.
Yeah.
Christmas morning.
In a little baby outfit.
Yes, yes. Astros colors, of course.
We had somebody yesterday ask. It was actually when I was on with Ron and Clint in the afternoon. Somebody on the text line asked, like, I don't understand what the big deal is. He's a Major League Baseball player. Why couldn't he adjust to playing outfield? And I think the two big things are, one, he's 35 years old and he's never done it before. So it's not like a 22-year-old going out there and getting that old synapses firing. But two, it's his arm strength. I think it's not something that would be a huge, huge concern because it's not like the left fielder is involved in that many critical plays in a game. But if his arm strength, he had the second weakest arm in the infield in Major League Baseball last year.
Yep.
And now he's in the outfield where the throws are much further, but he can load up and take a crow hop and do all that. But there's that. It's an unknown. It's an unknown until we see it in action.
And maybe, okay, so maybe I'm assuming this is a Houston sports fan that was texting their show. I didn't hear that part of your conversation with them yesterday.
It wasn't. It was. I just saw it on the text.
Oh, okay. I thought they brought it. I thought you said they brought it up during the thing. Okay, so maybe that texture is desensitized to it because we've seen it happen here before. We're a future Hall of Famer. Because my response to that was going to be, why is this significant? Tell me all the other times that you see a future Hall of Famer make this significant a position change.
Right.
This isn't moving from shortstop to third. This isn't, you know, going from being a position player to a full-time DH.
Yeah.
This is a second baseman moving to left field. Forget about future Hall of Famer. How often does that position switch happen, period, in Major League Baseball, let alone with a guy who's a franchise icon at second base? So I will give that texter a pass. Because I'm assuming maybe they're desensitized because we did see Biggio go from second base to center field.
Well, and Biggio had already, by the time he made that transition, he had played over 120 games in the outfield earlier in his career, so it wasn't like it was brand new to him. He had some level of experience doing it. Yeah. And Altuve is just brand new, and he's doing it at the age of 35.
Yeah.
So that's notable. I think it's also, I guess, confirmation that there are a lot of people that were in denial last year about Jose Altuve's declining defense at second base, because they almost didn't want to acknowledge every time that he didn't get to a ball or made an error. They're like, oh, no, 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 he's Altuve, he's fine. No, he's been declining the last couple of years.
It's the ball's fault.
So if you want to get excited about it, it's something that should hopefully extend his overall usefulness as a player and maybe be a little less taxing physically. You got to run a lot longer distances, obviously, but you're not seeing as much action when you're out there. And so maybe it's easier on his body. But it's a big change. It's a really big change, and I'm excited because Altuve is excited.
Yeah, he's excited and he's having fun. That's the big theme.
Yeah.
The big theme is he's been having fun doing it. Here was Jim Crane yesterday. They had a press conference surrounding the golf tournament. You know, as a prelude to the golf tournament coming up in a few months. Here that Jim Crane obviously runs the Houston Open. But obviously a lot of Astros questions at that press conference. Here's Jim Crane on Jose Altuve and the outlook for the upcoming season.
He's a team guy. He's our anchor guy. He's going to be here for a long time, and hopefully he'll be in the Hall of Fame. But he's a team player. As soon as he heard the word, nobody had to tell him. He was out there taking fly balls, and he's a great athlete. That, you know, he'll cover the ground, and you know he looks good out there. I mean, he's been catching a lot of fly balls, and you know that just shows he's a team guy. And you know, you look back at players like Biggio that made the adjustments. Great athletes can make the adjustments. I don't think I have a problem there, and he'll still probably play some second base. We're still working on a few things with the team, but it's gelling nicely, and our objective is to win the division. We think we can do that and get some of our pitchers back. We should be deep in pitching by the middle of the year with three or four guys coming back. So I like the way the team's set up. There's three things in baseball. I tell Joe Spada all the time, and Dana, pitching, pitching, pitching. You know, you get good pitching, you're going to be in the games. And we should have a deep pitching staff this year with picking up another guy from Chicago. We're ready to go. I think the team's looking good.
Wisniewski is the guy from Chicago he's referring to there. So yeah,
that was, he's got to prove, he's got to earn the right for Jim Crane.
I'm not going to refer to him by name right away.
He's going to do the old football thing.
That's right.
Refer to him by number.
Rip the stripe off his helmet. And that's. So it really is a luxury to have a superstar like Jose Altuve that's just willing to go. I mean, we've been watching the opposite play out up in Boston.
Yeah.
With Bregman up there, not with Bregman himself, but with Devers clutching his third base position, you know, like it's a family member or something like that. I'm not giving this up. And you know, look, some of that is part and parcel to having a pride and a competitive streak and all those things. It doesn't make Devers a bad person or even that bad of a teammate, but it does make it easier for Espada and Dana Brown and the Astros as a team just to move forward with an extra plan.
Yeah, I think, and the other part about it too is, because of the way this story unfolded, where initially it sounded like Altuve was willing to move to left field to make accommodations for bringing Bregman back. So that was kind of in our brain as the reason for the move. And then you find out through Altuve, or you got confirmation through Altuve, that they'd been talking about it with or without Bregman. It wasn't just that.
Since the end of the season last year.
So you got to look at it as, no, this is, in a lot of ways, it's for Altuve's sake. Because people have also asked, well, why don't you just, if you're going to have Dubon out there playing second, why don't you just have him play left field? Because Dubon's a better defensive player at second base than Altuve is.
Yeah.
Altuve's not a good defensive player anymore at second base.
Yep.
And one of the big changes in the last couple of years has been that with the absence of the shift, it's gotten harder to play second base.
Mm-hmm.
So as Altuve has gotten older, they've also made it harder to play second base than it was before.
Did you have fun yesterday out at Port St. Lucie?
I did. Not as much fun as I have at Cacti Park of the Palm Beaches.
Well, because when they're there, they win, and when we go to Port St. Lucie, they lose. They lost 5-0 yesterday.
Yeah, plus I just didn't like the whole vibe there. I felt like I was at an actual Mets game in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was very crowded.
It was a little
very
more
uncomfortable.
Intense. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just New York accents all over the place.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go down here, you bump into a New York accent. The pool guy last night, I was talking to him. Because I had to do some pool. He showed me some pool maintenance I had to do. And somebody rolled, oh, thank you, Parker.
That you had to do for the pool at our Airbnb?
Yeah, long story, but the pool was good. The levels were getting low.
Yeah. So he had made
And he was doing it in a New York accent, so I kind of felt like, hey, buddy, I'm
you're his assistant.
I'm just renting here, buddy. Yeah. I'm not, like, you're talking to me like I'm the owner or something.
Yeah. See, I would have been.
I kind of thought that, like, you or the owner was going to take care of
it. Sounded like he scared you into doing some work out there.
No, I wanted to get away. Well, I was trying to do some work out at the, out
your
next
laptop
to the pool.
Out there? Yeah.
And he was just talking nonstop. Yeah.
Oh.
So I did it. I grabbed the hose and pulled it out and everything just so I could get the hell
nice
out of there.
That's nice of you. Yeah, that's nice of you. No iguanas or anything. Okay, the iguanas are creeping into my dreams now. I had two dreams that involved iguanas last night.
Well, you did a lot of peyote last night, too. I think it goes hand in hand.
They might not have even been dreams. They were hallucinations. No, there was one where I don't know what house. I was in a house, and I'm looking out the window, and there's a tree. And I don't know who I was with, but I said, hey, there's an iguana on the tree. And the iguana heard me. Got super scared.
Yeah, that's
started
peyote.
Scurrying across the yard, and as the iguana got to the middle of the yard, turned around, shook his fist, kept running. I didn't take peyote last night.
The baby iguanas are cute as hell. The big iguanas scare the crap out of me. The baby iguanas are delightful.
Yeah. So we got to see the audit.
There was a baby iguana, and I was going to go up and try to grab it, but then I thought of that scene from Something About Mary where the little dog went after Ben Stiller's groin. Cute little fluffy things sometimes can be deceiving and fierce and ferocious.
Guessing the iguana might have a gear that it could get to with you, even the baby ones.
Yeah.
You enjoyed the automated strike zone yesterday.
Yeah,
I just want to tell the people right now.
This sounds like the dumbest thing in the world to get excited about, but I didn't have any expectations, positive or negative. I was open to the automated strike zone, but it was such a seamless experience.
You don't want to be sitting around while they're figuring this out.
We saw two at-bat. We saw two challenges in the first Mets at-bat, one by the batter and one by Caratini. And it's very, very quick. The challenge is immediate because they're not allowed to get any input from the dugout, the manager. They can't look at the replays or anything. The batter, the catcher, or the pitcher has to make the challenge within a couple seconds of the ball crossing the plate. And they go immediately. The catcher pats his head, means he wants a review. They put a graphic up on the scoreboard that's just the diagram that you see on television.
Yeah.
And within a few seconds, boom, the ball pops up, and they say whether the call was upheld or overturned.
It's like 10 seconds, the whole thing.
And it's fun for the home crowd. The Mets won one challenge, so they cheered, and then the Mets lost the challenge, so they booed.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool experience because it did not feel like it detracted from the flow of game at all. It's not like the NFL, or not like Major League Baseball replay, where typically the umpire is on the phone or the headset, then he comes out
waiting
and does
around.
The call. Yeah, it's very, very quick.
You see it up there, and you're like, it's so obvious. Why are we waiting now? You wait two more minutes? No, it was super quick. And you're right, like Caratini just boom, boom, tapping his head.
Mm-hmm.
Whole thing happens quick.
The Anthony Richardson, I call it.
Yeah. The tap it out. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Cam Smith got a hit yesterday. That was good. No home runs, so that was disappointing.
Boo!
I got used to him hitting two home runs in every single game. And we got our first looks at Jeremy Peña and Yordan Alvarez yesterday.
Yep.
So that was good. Who have we not seen yet? I'm trying to think.
I was hoping to see Soto yesterday.
I was too.
Just because we watched the Mets twice, and we haven't gotten a chance to see
Soto. I just saw a lot of people in Soto shirts. That's it.
Yeah.
So they're pampering him. All right, so that was we had a good day out of the yard yesterday.
We haven't seen Lance McCullers.
We've not. He's pitching a bullpen on a live BP, not a bullpen, a live batting practice. Pitching to live hitters for the first time in a couple of years on Saturday.
Adam Spillane did an interview with Dana Brown that we're going to play at 9:20, and it's a really good interview.
Yeah.
And Dana Brown, he said some really interesting things about Lance McCullers. So be sure if you're able to listen at 9:20 or download the Odyssey app and listen to it later.
That's right. There you go. All right. Off and running here on a Friday. Let's circle over to the Texans. There's Stephon Diggs drama. This popped up yesterday while we were at the yard.
Yeah.
This Stephon Diggs lawsuit story happened in Houston in June of last year. How do we process this thing, man? And how did the Texans process this thing?
Yeah, how did the Texans process it? And it's Diggs suing somebody else.
Yes.
We'll get into it. It could have ramifications for whether or not the Texans want to bring him back.
Or if he wants to stay in Houston.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes when something happens somewhere, you're like, I just want out of that city. We'll get you up to speed on all of it. It's a wild story, and we'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, number one trending story, most popular story on the Chronicle right now. Stephon Diggs files lawsuit alleging assault and extortion. This popped up yesterday afternoon.
Is it Jack Easterby?
It's not Jack Easterby. Oh, okay. No. Spoiler alert. It is not.
Diggs. Yeah. I was joking there. Diggs didn't have any dealings with Easterby.
He did not. Here's the story. And it says attorneys representing Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs filed a 6-count lawsuit in Harris County on Wednesday night, per documents obtained by the Chronicle. Diggs' representation filed the lawsuit against defendants Mia Jones, who's probably better known to our audience, who's into reality TV as reality TV celebrity Mulan Hernandez.
Yeah.
1 million followers on Instagram. And Brianna Bree Mack. Those are the two defendants that Diggs is suing. The suit alleges that Diggs was punched in the chest by Jones, threatened with a deadly weapon, and that Diggs, this is the big one, is the victim of a tale of abuse to extort millions of dollars. Diggs now hopes to seek damages for defendant misconduct and the destruction of his property, including his gaming system. At his apartment, they destroyed his gaming system. His attorney, Ken Schaefer, Diggs' attorney, said there were threats coming from Jones that he had to pay her money or she was going to go public and ruin his career. We're kind of at the point where the threats have to stop. That's why the decision was made to go ahead and file. At some point, it just has to end. The whole thing occurred back on June 7th. Diggs had a casual relationship with Jones in the months before the lawsuit's first alleged incident on June 7th, in which Jones and Mack allegedly destroyed Diggs' property and refused to leave his apartment. Filing documents state Jones went to a Houston hospital early that morning with nausea and vomiting. After a long night of partying, was discharged within an hour after denying suffering physical abuse of any kind. Jones then made a second medical visit a week later, documents state, claiming she had been punched in the back of the head with a closed fist. That claim is denied by Diggs' representation.
Yeah, so I guess this always gets confusing because, you know, one side will claim extortion, but then as best I can tell, my limited legal brain is that you're allowed to extort somebody as long as you have your lawyer doing the extorting, because then it's not called extortion. So I don't know exactly. Who knows with all this stuff? From her perspective, because that's the Diggs lawsuit, so that's his side of the story. On her Instagram, she issued a statement that says, on June 7th, I was assaulted from behind by Stephon Diggs at our residence, an incident that resulted in a concussion. Months later, when the mediation that his legal team requested did not pan out in favor, I was struck with this fabricated story publicly. This is clearly an attempt to try to get ahead of the truth that is to come. I will not be intimidated nor silenced. Having to relive this moment is very traumatic for me, especially in my time of healing. Domestic violence is something I do not wish on anyone, and everything that is done in the dark will come out in the light.
Okay, so this is clearly like one side saying one thing, the other side saying the complete opposite.
Right. And that when she was released from the hospital, she said that there hadn't been any harm done. So
yeah.
I'm sure Diggs is going to lean into that part. We know from everything we've learned that there's the times that women won't disclose it at one time because for whatever reason.
Well, then reportedly the incident a week later.
Yeah.
There's the June 7th, and then there was the second one on June 14th where she went to the hospital making complaints, and she was treated and released the same day. Schaefer, Diggs' lawyer, says she didn't even see Diggs that day.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
The second day, the week later when she went to the hospital, she wasn't even around Diggs, is what Diggs' lawyer is saying.
So, all right. Like, we're not going to litigate this thing, obviously. It's a he said, she said thing,
yes.
And who knows exactly. Details will emerge, I'm sure.
Maybe, yeah.
You know what? Maybe details won't emerge because they'll settle it.
They'll figure something out.
But I know. Does this make you feel like it's less likely that Diggs comes back?
I don't think so. It doesn't to me, because I feel like now if Diggs did it, okay. Now that would be. I'm just talking about the drama that swirls around Stephon Diggs. Let's pretend that there weren't allegations of him hitting somebody for a second.
Right.
This is just a lawsuit, and it's another thing out there.
Yeah,
like I almost feel like, you know, when you're trading for Diggs, you're probably trading for a little bit of a circus to come with him, too.
Yeah.
Now, this is, if he were to have hit her in the back of the head, that's obviously very
this
serious.
This isn't screaming at your quarterback on the side.
No. But he's, you know, he's in the tabloids and things like that.
Well, I would say just logically, mathematically, yes, it makes it less likely he's going to come back.
Sure.
Because this is an allegation of domestic violence that was not out there before.
Yeah, and that's where I was kind of pausing and saying.
Yeah, even entering it into the equation. Right. Means, okay, if she's correct, there's a chance that whatever percentage chance she's correct, then then there's a real good chance. Now, it also, depending on what the Texans look into it, I don't know how much they're going to want to deep dive into figuring out what's going on. It could be one of those things that does scare some teams away without them even looking into it. They might look at it as, all right, if we're going to take an aging wide receiver who's been injured, we got Cooper Kupp here, we got Stephon Diggs. One's got a whole lot of drama swirling around him currently and in the past. Cooper Kupp doesn't have a whole lot of drama ever off the field. Let's focus on Cooper Kupp. So this might really reduce his value in free agency if he doesn't have as many suitors.
Yeah. And I wonder how much the Texans or people behind the scenes already know about this.
Yeah.
You know, if they know about it and they're comfortable with Diggs' side of it, or if there's concern about it, or is yesterday the first they're hearing about this? You know, those are things we don't know at all.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. Just in terms of, like, all right, if we're just answering the question, how does it impact the percentage chance of the Texans retaining him? Is there a more likely, same likely, less? Obviously, it's less likely because there's an allegation here. Even if it's a half a percent, it doesn't. They're not looking at this going, well, now we got to sign him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's definitely less likely. My gut reaction, especially these he said, she said things, my initial gut reaction was just that there was Diggs drama. I'm like, I think they know that Diggs is a guy who kind of carries drama with him. So I think it's less likely. I don't know how likely it was in the first place that they were bringing him back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that they were that they were down to the, you know, the 5-yard line on getting a contract done, and then this thing gets dropped in the middle of it. I don't know how it affects people wanting Diggs back. That's what I would be curious about.
There's going to be a portion of the fan base is like, no, I don't want anybody. I don't want any part of this. Regardless of it, it's drama that I don't want.
Yeah. So weigh in on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. Does a story like this, you know, especially considering Diggs is, you know, coming off an ACL.
Yeah.
You know that, and so now, just like all the things you do when you get some drama and some potential drama that involves, you know, either, you know, criminal or civil activity. The negatives tend to magnify at that point.
Yeah.
And he is coming off an ACL, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas before you might have been, that's just an ACL. You know, guys heal. You're like, okay, now we got this, and he's coming off an ACL.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd be curious what people think
about
that.
It makes me, just my gut reaction is, that's more drama, man. I don't need this, man. I've got... And likewise,
there's other guys at age 31 who can get me 70 catches.
Yeah. And there's always that element of, no matter what actually happened in the situation, it's kind of like I would say with Deshaun Watson, is that there's sometimes the way you're living your life, whether you're guilty or innocent in a specific situation, you're living in a life, your life in a way that invites a whole lot of drama at the very least. And it's not good for business, you know? So, it makes me less likely to really want Stephon Diggs back.
And I
honestly, and there'll be people that'll be angry at me for saying that because I don't know whether he did it or didn't do it or anything. Like, I don't care, man. It's more drama. I don't care.
Well, I'm unfair in that regard. You're not convicting him. You're just saying you don't want to do business.
That's
fine. Let's see. There are people weighing in on it. Let's see. Maybe that's why they took the cap hit and didn't re-sign him. I don't know about that. It sounded to me, we asked Caserio about that.
Yeah.
Caserio, when Nick was on with us, he basically said that the way that all played out was kind of how it was planned on from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, that they want to take a minimal cap hit in the year he was on the team. They knew the $16 million was coming. They knew Diggs wanted to be a free agent at the end of the year. And that's, he said there was a lot was made about that whole thing that was really a non-factor.
I guess, but I mean, by the other side of that coin would be, Casario's not going to tell us, like, yeah, oh, yeah, by the way, he's got this ongoing legal drama. Did you guys know about
this? No. Of course I'm not saying that.
I mean, yeah, the way Casario said it makes sense, but it's also not like he was going to spill the beans on this scenario if he knew about it.
That's true. This is the second weird story about Diggs off the field. I'd go another direction.
What was the other one?
There was some stuff during the season that never really got traction.
Well, just that he was that part. I thought it showed an enterprising spirit in him. It was women were paying for his company.
Yeah,
right?
that's what I'm assuming they're referring. I don't know.
Is there another story texted in? I don't know of any other stories.
And don't text in fake stories about Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. And we don't know if that was a fake story or not. That was probably just a rumor concocted.
I haven't thought of it as being very entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
One man's weirdness is another man's entrepreneurialism.
Rusty Harden would tell you. There's, you know.
What's that? Yeah, it's not a crime.
Yeah.
Actually, that may be. But anyways, so before the allegations on Diggs, I didn't want an aging wide receiver coming off an ACL injury. All right, so this thing doesn't do anything for you. You were already out on Diggs.
Right, no, and I think, or if anybody was on the fence a little bit, it might just be more, man, look, he was on his best behavior on the field and in the building and everything, but it was knowing that it was a one-year contract.
Yeah.
What Casario said, which is that, we approached that and looked at it as a one-year contract the entire time.
Yeah.
That made a whole lot of sense.
Yep.
And I thought it was more likely that Diggs wouldn't be re-signed before that, before he could void his contract.
Yeah.
And so it didn't surprise me.
Text message, Jim Adler, Texas Hammer text line. Let's see. I care about the price tag, age, and the ACL recovery. The drama doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
That was my initial gut reaction, and then I took a step back and said, well, the drama does involve allegedly maybe hitting somebody. But that's kind of my general feeling on Diggs, even before this. I was like, all right, I know he comes with some stuff on the field, off the field, whatever it may be. But, yeah, the ACL recovery, the age, I get that. Do you think it impacts other teams wanting to sign him? That's the most interesting part to me about, well, most interesting part is will we get down to the truth of the whole thing?
Yeah.
But the football most interesting part to me isn't so much with the Texans. It's is the league taking this lawsuit as a serious thing that impacts his value?
Well,
not the NFL. Although the NFL is interesting too, but what does it do to his market?
Right, that's what I was saying. There's going to be some teams that just flat out maybe don't even look into it all that much. Other than that, look, Diggs already has the stamp of a guy that comes with a lot of drama. He did a great job this year in the 1 year with him, and I think they'll take that into account.
Yeah,
but this is definitely. This isn't a guy that's never had drama that all of a sudden has drama. This is a long string of drama of a different variety and nature, but that teams are going to be concerned about it.
Yeah.
They're not going to, if you know nothing at all about Stephon Diggs, other than just what you've read on Pro Football Talk through the years and everything, this is going to be one more thing that they're like, all right, well, we got to have conversations about how he acted in Houston, and it looks like it went well, but now we got this other thing. We got to dig into this. And free agency's coming up very quickly.
Yeah, I'm just, I guess, being a little bit more specific, like, even when somebody with baggage, there's always those two or three teams that are like, yeah, whatever. I'm anxious to see if there's any two or three whatever teams with this, or if it just kills his value.
Well, in creating your market in free agency, you always got to remember, for most free agents, realistically, there's only a few teams that really want a guy. So the price, and all you need is two teams to really want you to get a good price sometimes if you get into some kind of a bidding war.
Yep.
So if there's four teams that were really interested in Diggs, if two of them all of a sudden are a lot less interested, then yeah, that drives his price down. Now, maybe the Texans have insight into this. Maybe they have been following it along, and if they've done their own private investigation, maybe if Diggs has done nothing wrong in this, then yeah, the Texans would be in a position to perhaps get him at a better value than if none of this drama existed.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Let's see here. No, we hit that one already. Someone's asking, do I ever look at the YouTube chat? I do look at it from time to time. I got a lot of moving parts, man. You know, got a lot of moving parts here. But yeah, I'll check the YouTube chat. I'll check you guys there in the YouTube. You can watch us on YouTube. You can watch us on Twitch. We'll be out at the yard today watching Jose Altuve play left field. So looking forward to that today. This has been a great week, man. Big thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending us here. Let's get you guys up to speed on headlines. The Astros play a game yesterday. We saw Jeremy Pena for the first time. We'll hear from Jeremy Pena. And then a big franchise tag in the NFL yesterday that maybe the Texans are keeping an eye on. So we got a bunch of stuff to get to here. In headlines, we will do that coming up next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, headlines, let's get to them. We were at Port St. Lucie yesterday for the Astros and the Mets. The Mets beat the Astros 5-0. We got our first look at Jeremy Pena, who after the game met with the media, Adam Spillane, and the media got to ask him a few questions. He talked first about Tony Perez-Chica, who is the new third base coach, and he's going to work quite a bit with the infield.
He works with the infielders in general, yeah. And base running coach as well.
Yep.
There's been very much of a theme of a return to fundamentals this year, discipline at the plate, and defensively, I think we've all been wondering, okay, what was going on with Pena last year? Why was he so inconsistent? So I've been really happy to see and hear Pena talk about some of these things.
Here's Pena on Perez-Chica, going to make the infield defense better.
I mean, Tony is a person that has a lot of knowledge about defense, and he's very passionate about defense, and that's why I'm excited to work with him. You know, he's a person that brings a lot to the team. He is always willing to work. He focuses on the little things. He wants to perfect his art. Perfections are possible, but we're going to shoot for it with Tony. So that's, we show up every single day and put the work in.
This feels like someone Pena needed.
Yes.
Perez-Chica feels like someone Pena needed after last year.
He can be his Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, paying attention to the little things,
right? Right, yeah.
If Pena's making errors out there, it's not because of a lack of physical talent. It's because, more often than not, it's probably a focus and a fundamentals issue.
Or technique, you're right, yeah, because he still makes the spectacular plays.
Correct.
There wasn't any part of me where it felt like he fell off physically. But this next bit of audio and him talking about some of the adjustments he's made, it meets the eyeball test.
I'm loose as in relaxed, but I'm staying a little more compact, running to the ball with my arms kind of closer to my body instead of them flailing around everywhere. And I feel like I'm a person that I never see a ball I can't get to. And I'm a person that I'm on defense and I feel like I can get to every single ball. But if we're a little more efficient, then those balls that I think I could get to would be a little easier because you get there a little more efficient. Kind of being more efficient.
Did you ever watch Pena last year and say, man, his arms are flailing all over the place?
Well, no, not specifically his arm. No, but there is a lot of I would say there's a lot of extra movement and motion.
Yeah.
And young guys will do that, especially young, energetic guys. Like, Pena always hoofs it out to first. Like, he's got a lot of energy. Yeah, I like that because if you watch the really good baseball players, there's an economy of motion. Everything's very crisp. It's same as at the plate, you know, more motion is bad. There's just as little movement as possible. So I think for Peña, as a guy who's got all this unharnessed energy in a lot of ways, it's a matter of refining your technique. And I know you were chuckling during that. I'm guessing you were envisioning him like keeping his elbows.
I was envisioning the flailing. I was thinking of those big inflatables at the car dealerships.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, here comes Pena for a ground ball, and his arms are all over the place.
No, it's always less is more. You know, especially at shortstop where everything happens so quickly.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I'm intrigued. I'm excited to watch him in the field.
I am too. Jose Altuve in left field today. That's the big thing. We'll be out there. It sounds like he's going to play 4 or 5 innings out there in left field. So we'll be out there keeping eyes on it for you. Follow us on social, the Sports Radio 610 social, and our individual socials as well.
You know what I'm excited about is that I think that you'll see today and in the regular season, early in the regular season, Altuve is going to get huge ovations for just simple fly ball catches. Easy catches. People are like, yay, good for you, Altuve.
Dude, the first time he jogs out there to play left field,
he's going to get
a big ovation. Let's at least be out there for the ovation today.
Okay.
In left field.
What's the weather forecast?
It's blue skies.
It was kind of hot yesterday.
It was hot yesterday.
I might
That's
have to
true.
Document it from the press
That's
box.
That's true. That's
or at least
true.
From the shade.
The Astros ballpark has better shaded areas than the Mets ballpark.
It's a much more comfortable environment at the Astros ballpark than the other ones we've been to.
Oh, you're going
to
be fine.
We went to the Cardinals a couple years ago, and that was a cool setting because like this little city has been, this little neighborhood has been built up around it over the last several decades.
It's like an enclave.
Which is really cool. But, but other than that,
70, they all suck. 76.
Okay, I can do that.
It was 84 yesterday. So yeah. it was
bad job, Mets. St. Lucie sucks.
Yeah, control your temperature.
I'm going to do a Ross Tucker and give a bad Yelp
bad
review.
Bad reviews on Port St. Lucie. Yeah,
Lake Worth is awesome.
That's the town next to West Palm Beach.
Yeah, where we were last night, and it's right near the water, but it feels just like a normal little town that happens to be next to the
small
water.
Small town USA.
Yeah, it's cool.
We sat outside and ate pizza on Main Street.
Watched the guy try to parallel park for I think it was at least 17 minutes.
Oh yeah. And he got out multiple times, looked at it, got back in, and tried again.
And ended up like in the exact same spot.
And he looked like a psycho.
I know. Yeah, I think he was either that or really high. I think it looked like a really high move where he was just second-guessing himself.
Maybe that's the guy that slipped me the peyote
last
night.
He was being hyper, hyper careful and kind of paranoid about how he was
That working. Guy definitely dreams about iguanas.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Let's get to some NFL news. Seth, you have dreamt of Trey Smith as a Houston Texan at various times during the offseason. He is franchise tagged.
Yeah.
The guard for the Kansas City Chiefs. And here's the thing about the franchise tag for offensive linemen. It don't matter if you're a tackle or a guard or a center. It's just O-line. So Trey Smith right now, and then all the highest paid ones are tackles.
Yeah.
He's a guard. If he chooses to sign the franchise tender, he will get a 1 year guarantee at about $24 million. He's going to get paid like one of the top 5 tackles for 1 year if he signs the franchise tag.
I'm totally cool with this. For several weeks now, I've been saying, you know what, that Trey Smith is really good, but for an interior offensive lineman, this year there's plenty of free agents who are serviceable starters, and especially if it involves a trade for Trey Smith underneath
the game changer with the tag. Yeah,
like I don't want that. They can spend their money if they're going to bring in a free agent, bring in a durable starter, and draft and build it that way, because it's the talent issue isn't nearly as big as it feels like it was last year. I think some of us are freaking out a little too much about the overall personnel on the offensive line. I'm much more comfortable in blaming a lot of it on Bobby Slowick and a haphazard plan and scheme.
Yeah.
So, that's fine. I never should have gotten. I got real bullish on Trey Smith right after the season was over, and I feel like it's like I said I like scrambled eggs, and now you're making me scrambled eggs every morning. You're dangling. You're like, "Hey, Seth, here's your scrambled eggs." I'm like, "No, that's cool. I don't love them that much."
Okay.
Trey Smith is like scrambled eggs to me.
Got you. So yeah. You're giving up eggs now. Right now, like,
no, but I don't need him every morning.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
I'm not gonna pay. I'm not gonna pay current egg prices for him. Yeah, this chicken flu is.
Well, the Chiefs are about to pay current egg prices for him on the franchise
and
tag.
He's got the chicken flu. He was all banged up during the playoffs. He didn't play as well.
Yep. Report: the Raiders and Matthew Stafford have found common ground on a new contract. And you may be saying, Raiders? What? He's on the Rams. Yes, but he met with Tom Brady. And they met in Montana. Depending on who you talk to, it was either by chance or it was a planned meeting.
Yeah.
Depending on which side you're on in the great Nugget Hussy battle between Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz. Rappaport, coincidence.
Yeah.
Schultz, planned meeting where they skied.
These Nugget Hussies are such just disreputable little whores. I've read so many articles where they don't even mention that this looks bad and it could be tampering, but they certainly don't even mention the fact that Brady was already part of a tampering offseason meeting with the Dolphins, where the Dolphins got pinched for a first-round pick before.
He's a recidivist.
Yeah. Saying this is nothing, just a mild coincidence? Go die.
But here's the story. The Raiders and Stafford's camp have found common ground on what a new contract could look like, according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Although common ground is not the same thing as actually agreeing to the terms of a deal, the report strongly suggests that if the Rams, Stafford's current team, and the Raiders can come to an agreement on a trade, then Stafford and the Raiders, the contract will come together very, very quickly.
So the Rams have allowed this.
So
it's not tampering. But it's also not whatever Ian Rappaport was trying to say. It was just a
coincidence.
Yeah.
So either way, the Schultz and Rappaport thing aside, this whole thing, you and I were talking before the show about this. This thing is just weird to me that this might end in divorce with Stafford and the Rams over a few million bucks.
Because Stafford's getting money hungry.
Because they redid his contract last year. He's making 40-something million a year. I'm guessing he's looking around the landscape of the league and going, I'm better than that guy, I'm better than that guy, I'm better than that guy. They're all making $55 million. Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Tua are all making between $53 and $55 million a year.
Yeah.
And I've won a Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm Matthew Stafford. Reportedly he's asking for 50, so he's not even asking for what they're making. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that if it were my team, if the Rams were my team, that I wouldn't be mad at Stafford for this. What's weird to me is that this is a head coach and a franchise that have won a Super Bowl with this guy, and that maybe it ultimately does result in some middle ground, and this is just extreme posturing on both sides. The Rams going, yeah, fine, go do your thing, and Stafford going skiing with Brady and reportedly coming up with a contract agreement. Maybe maybe Stafford's going through it, so the Raiders come up with a number, and the Rams, it's almost like a thing where the Rams get a chance to match it or something like that. I have no idea. It's just that we watch other quarterbacks of Super Bowl contending teams, and you don't see this level of agitation from Mahomes. Josh Allen's like the 13th highest paid quarterback now or something like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't say a peep about any of this stuff. So it's just strange to me.
It makes me hate Matt Stafford. You're the second highest paid quarterback of all time in terms of career earnings.
Yeah.
The third highest, whatever it is.
Right, and it's the Raiders we're talking about here, which are clearly the fourth best team in their four-team division.
Yeah.
You're like, that's
until
a division.
They get Matt Stafford.
I think they're still the fourth best team in that division, even with Matt Stafford.
No, I know that it just seems like a money grubbing jerk move by Matt Stafford.
It does. Like, to wind up with the Raiders? What
are
we doing?
It's one thing to want it or expect it when your contract is up. It's another to just agitate your way out of there after. And he spent He spent over a decade in football hell in Detroit.
Yeah.
Now he finds himself in a place where he's won a Super Bowl, and it looks like they're back on the upswing.
Yeah.
And he's trying to bend him. He's trying to force him to pay him more money.
He's willing to go somewhere else for a little more money. It looks like he's willing to go to a bad team.
Yeah.
For a little more money. Rams are a good team. They almost beat the Eagles in the playoffs.
It's hard to, you know, you get into the presence of Tom Brady and you smell his cologne and you look at that jawline.
Musk.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to walk away from that. In my mind, they agreed to a deal, and then Tom Brady, like they were on the ski slope, and then Tom Brady made Matt Stafford ride the ski lift back down. They're like, that's it, no more skiing for you, by the way.
Have you ever rode the ski lift back down before when you've gone? Do you ski?
Yeah. Well, I used to, not anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, why? No, why would I ride
it? It's always weird. I don't know. I had to ride it down one time because my ski broke.
Oh, okay.
And so I had to ride it back down. It feels very strange riding down on the ski.
Do you feel like
lift?
Everybody at the bottom is judging you?
No,
like you're scared
probably.
To go down.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. A little bit. But it's just weird going up, all the slope is behind you. So you're just going down. There's always this feeling like I could tip over and fall out.
You know why my brother?
It's the peyote again.
You know why my brother was one of the worst people, one of the worst human beings in the world? The first time I ever went skiing, I went with my brother and his friends. Bad move, Mom, because I was, you know, they're 3 years older than me. They were in high school.
Yeah.
We go up, first chairlift I get on, he brings me up to the top of a double diamond trail. Never skied before in my life.
With the moguls and everything?
Yeah. And then he's like, see ya. And his buddies took off.
And he'd skied before.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And
that might even be a good enough trick to play.
I spent like the next 2 hours trying to navigate my way.
That's hell.
You can't snowplow through moguls,
no,
man.
No, no. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's brutal.
That was my life.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The life of a younger
brother. Wearing jeans, too, by the way.
Jeans on the ski slope?
Didn't have any. Yeah, so first time skiing.
Styling.
First time skiing, no actual good ski gear. I was wearing, like, work gloves, and I'm falling every 3 feet. I was just, by the time I got to the bottom, my jeans were soaked.
Oh, my God.
It was miserable, man.
Snow on them. Yeah.
I wish I had died, just so my brother would have had to live with that the rest of his life. Problem is, he wouldn't have cared. He'd be like, yeah, that's on him. He was a horrible human being. And then he turned into an awesome guy.
Yeah.
But when he was in high school, he was a horrible human being.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. See, Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, both at the Combine, talking about C.J. Stroud's offseason. We had made not a big deal out of this. We talked a lot about this leading into the end of the season, how different it might look in the offseason for C.J. It feels like the GM and the head coach are in lockstep with that. We'll hear from both of them. A lot of audio from the Combine that we've got coming up next. Stay there.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.